Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart, and yield a harvest through perseverance. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. King Herod heard about Jesus, for his fame had become widespread, and people were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Others were saying, "He is Elijah." Still others, "He is a prophet like any of the prophets." But when Herod learned of it, he said, "It is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised up." Herod was the one who had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, whom he had married. John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias harbored a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but was unable to do so. Herod feared John, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man, and kept him in custody. When he heard him speak, he was very much perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. Herodias had an opportunity one day when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers, his military officers, and the leading men of Galilee. His own daughter came in and performed a dance that delighted Herod and his guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask of me whatever you wish, and I will grant it to you." He even swore many things to her. "I will grant you whatever you ask of me, even up to half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" Her mother replied, "The head of John the Baptist." The girl hurried back to the king's presence and made her request. "I want you to give me at once on a platter the head of John the Baptist." Now the king was deeply distressed, but because of the oaths and the guests, he did not wish to break his word to her. So he promptly dispatched an executioner with orders to bring back his head. He went off and beheaded him in prison, and he brought in the head on a platter and gave it to the girl. The girl, in turn, gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body, and they laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Hay una conexión profunda e intrínseca entre en la enfermedad y en el pecado. A veces, la conexión es obvia, como cuando una persona que fuma mucho tiene cáncer. Pero, por supuesto, no es tan simple como eso. Muchas personas contraen cáncer que nunca han fumado. Y la mayoría de las personas con diabetes no son obesas. ¿Eh? La conexión entre el pecado y la enfermedad es mucho más sutil, porque fue por pecado que la enfermedad entró el mundo. Cuando ungimos a los enfermos con los aceites sagrados, óleos sagrados, oramos, para que libre de tus pecados te conceda la salvación y te conforte en tu enfermedad. Esto se debe a que la curación del cuerpo depende de la curación del alma. Así como el óleo unge nuestros cuerpos, pero nos toca hasta lo más profundo de nuestra alma. Si quieres que Dios te libere de lo que te enferma, entonces necesitas ser liberado de lo que te hace pecaminoso. El rey David tenía una enfermedad espiritual, lujuria, que nubló su visión de orgullo, que lo impidió confesar su pecado. No fue hasta que el Señor encontró una manera de exponer el pecado que pudo sanar a David. Y a pesar de que los efectos del pecado de David permanecieron, finalmente se convirtió en el hombre que Dios siempre había querido que fuera. Es por eso que, a pesar de que David era un violador y un asesino, las escrituras todavía lo llaman un hombre según el corazón de Dios. Salomé y su madre Herodia son recordados de manera muy diferente después de su muerte. La pobre niña, aquí está siendo utilizada sexualmente por su madre para seducir el rey. Y el rey, que debería saberlo mejor, no solo se deja seducir, sino que comete una especie de blasfemia al ordenar la muerte de alguien que él conoce como profeta. En cierto sentido, Herodes no es diferente de David. Ambos son reyes, ambos son lujuriosos y ambos son asesinos. La diferencia es que David se dio cuenta de su fracaso, admitió su pecado y estaba dispuesto a intentarlo de nuevo. Hemos venido aquí esta noche para curarnos. Nuestros cuerpos no funcionan de la manera que nos gustaría y somos espiritualmente un desastre en formas que preferimos no admitir. Pero si nos sometemos como David el bálsamo curativo de Cristo, entonces no solo seremos liberados de nuestras enfermedades, sino que también seremos sanados de nuestros pecados. Entonces cualquier sufrimiento que la vida nos depare ya no será una carga, sino un gozo. Porque al compartir su sufrimiento, estaremos compartiendo la salvación del mundo entero. There's a deep and an intrinsic connection between sickness and sin. Sometimes the connection is pretty evident. You smoke a lot and then you get cancer, or you eat a lot and you get fat, like me. But other times it's not so obvious, because not everybody who gets cancer smoked, and not everybody who has diabetes is fat. The connection is much deeper and more profound and much, much older. Because sin was what allowed sickness to enter into the world. What we know as the suffering attached to our bodies is the result of the suffering we first known in our souls. When I anoint those who have come this night to be anointed, I'll say, through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy heal you by the grace of the Holy Spirit, and may the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up. The cure and the care of our bodies depends upon the cure and the care of our souls. Of course, it's possible to make somebody feel better. You give them a pill or maybe something much more sophisticated than a pill. But in the end, if the soul isn't satisfied, it won't matter what happens to the body. Father Schmemann, the priest whose life and writing I've spent most of my life in writing trying to figure out, says that death, that is a dead body, is a kind of icon of hell. It's the image of what sin does to our soul. You remember the old anti-drug commercials in the 80s, right? The egg, this is your brain, and then they fry it, this is your brain on drugs, okay? This is your soul, nice, healthy, holy body. The soul is the form of the body. Go look at a corpse, that's your soul on sin. That's the relationship between sin and illness. Not that each illness that we have is the result of a personal sin of ours, but it's the result of the collective experience that we know of sin, which is why we all also collectively inherit sickness. David is spiritually sick. He's got a lot going right for him, but he has two very big things going wrong. His lust is out of control. He sees a woman, he wants her, and he takes her. There's a lot of guys like that still running around today. Sometimes they still wind up in charge of countries. Then, because he knows that he's in trouble, he has to hide it to cover it up. He's too proud to admit his mistake. Pride and lust are David's downfall. And he can't be healed of what ails him until he's able to confess his sin. He can't be healed of what ails him until he's able to confess his sin. God needs him to confess the sin, not because God needs to hear it, but because David needs to admit it. Otherwise, he won't be open to the healing that's necessary to restore him. Herod is in one way not so different a king than David. They are, in fact, king of the same country. They lived in at least some of the same buildings. And Herod, like David, likes to sleep with the people that he wants to and murder their husbands when he doesn't like them. So why do we remember Herod so differently than David? Why is what happens to David in the end so different than what happens to Herod and Herodias and poor Salome? Because David was willing in the end, when confronted by the prophet with the weight of his sin, to admit his wrong, to lean on God's forgiveness, and to allow the consequences of his sin to work themselves out so that he and his people could be healed. Herod just kept trying to cover more of it up, and it eventually led to his death in much the same way as the Baptist. We're here tonight because we, or those we love, have a sickness. Our bodies don't work the way that we want them to. Our minds are confused and addled, difficult to focus, move towards what we want. Our souls are unsettled, dissatisfied, longing for something more. We can't hope for the healing of our bodies unless, like David, we're open to the healing of our souls. It's that simple. We can give you medicine to make you feel better, but if you want to be better, you've got to be open to God's working you from the inside out. If you are, then it won't matter what you've done. You could be a rapist and a murderer like David and yet still be called a man after God's own heart. Not because rape and murder are okay, but because David is called a man after God's own heart both before and after his sin. But he was more after because he came to know God's mercy. We have a gift even greater than David. And the song we're able to sing tonight is even better than his psalm of repentance. The power of the sacrament, which is administered tonight, both holy anointing and especially in the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, it's what David longed to see and never saw. It's what David sang about, never touched. Imagine what David could have done with the graces available to us tonight. And imagine what you can do, what God can do in you with the gift that he has for you tonight. Once you are better and past just feeling better, then it won't matter what kind of sickness or infirmity life throws your way. Because then, even your suffering will work for the salvation of the whole world.